This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome to the CBS Eye on Money podcast. I am Jill Schlesinger. Hey, it's episode number two. If you missed episode one, you missed a lot. This is a program that is about you. It is about trying to help you navigate the various issues in your financial lives. And the way that we do that, we being my executive producer, Mark, who you'll hear from time to time, and I, we want to help you by just answering your questions. Now, the question can be a very detailed email. You can send us your questions at askjill@jillonmoney.com, askjill@jillonmoney.com, or if you're on our website, which is very easy to remember, jillonmoney.com, that's our website, there's a contact button there, and all you have to do is hit the contact button. And while you're on our website, here's what I suggest. You should bookmark that website. And you can also do all sorts of fun things on the website. You can read things that I write. So you want to get a deep dive about the jobs report that just came out last week? I wrote about that. It's under the Read tab. You want to listen to other programs? I have a radio show. I have another podcast. We've got a Listen tab. You want to watch me on television because you and my mother want to weigh in on how my hair looks on a variety of days. Go to the watch section. And if you would like to, you've got a number of resources in our resource section. Again, this is all at jillonmoney.com. Now, if you don't want to miss a single episode of the Eye on Money, follow us. You follow us wherever you get your podcasts. So check it out. So here's the thing. If you want, you're going to send us this email. But if you want to get a really quick response to your question, tell us if you'd come on the air live with us, because then we'll let you skip the line. That is what Michael did. Michael, welcome to Eye on Money. What can we do for you?
Well, Jill, I have one question that I initially wrote to you about. And in thinking that over, I realized I actually have a few more questions. So let me start with the question I actually asked you about. And that is, in my retirement savings, I'm wondering if I am being overly aggressive in my fund allocation. And the reason I ask that is this. My wife and I'm 44, she's 46. We both work for the government. We both have pension plans. We'll both be eligible for Social Security. My pension won't be small. It'll be probably over $100,000 a year by the time I retire. My wife will have a much smaller pension, probably $15,000 to $20,000, because she's
Hold on a second.
Sure.
So you will be entitled to a pension of about $100,000 a year. Your wife, it'll be $15,000 a year. And then on top of that, you will both be able to claim Social Security, right?
Correct.
Do you have an estimate on those Social Security numbers for future years?
You know, I have not really spent too much time trying to estimate my Social Security. I looked at an online calculator, and I'm guessing combined, it'll probably be somewhere between $4,000 to $5,000 a month.
Let's use it between the two of you, another $50,000.
Okay.
How about that? And we'll lowball it. So now at your retirement, and when does that pension kick in? When could you retire?
I could retire with a slightly smaller pension at 57, probably around $90,000. And if I stay till 65, I'm looking probably one conservatively, depending on the rates of inflation, 110 to 120,000.
Let's look at the 65 thing. So really, if you look at 65 plus Social Security plus your wife, and we'll lowball your wife a little bit, we're talking about a bunch of money coming in, $175,000 a year. I know it's pre-tax, but is that enough to generally pay your bills, you think?
Oh, absolutely.
That's like you're sitting pretty, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. So now let's get back to your original question, which is, are we being overly aggressive? So here's something really interesting that I have found. When I talk to people who work in government, whether it's municipal or federal, or even if you talk to anyone who is, when I talk to people who are teachers, what they'll often say to me is one of two things. I've got this sweet pension and it covers my needs. Therefore, I am using my retirement assets and just rolling the dice and taking a ton of risk. Because if I'm wrong, I don't really have to dip into it, right? I don't have like some trigger event of called retirement that is I have to take the money out. I could really outlast any downturn. So that's the overly aggressive type of thinking.
Worst case scenario, I can get by exactly on my Social Security and pension income.
Exactly. So that's the case to be overly aggressive. Okay, let's go to the other side. The other side is, well, I mean, I have this pension, I have this Social Security. Why take risk? Risk doesn't seem like a good thing. And since I don't really care about growing this that much, I don't want to take the ride. Therefore, I'm going to be kind of wimpy with my investments in these accounts. That's usually one of two reactions to folks who are in great shape because they have future income. So let me ask you a few more questions, Michael. That is, do you have children?
We have an 11 and 13 year old.
Okay. Is there some money set aside for college or are you going to pay that out of cash flow? What's the plan there?
We're planning on cash flowing it. We're actually, our older one is as likely as it is that somebody will know what she wants to do at 13. She is dedicated. I give it a pretty high likelihood that she'll be in the armed services when she graduates high school.
So are you saving anything for 11-year-old or even just a little bit for 13-year-old?
No, we've had discussions, my wife and I, and we both feel very strongly that we're able to cash flow an in-state school. We have not put any substantial savings aside for college.
Fair enough. Okay. Let's wind the clock forward a little bit. So it's 7 years from now. So it's 5 or 6 years from now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm sorry to say you're 50. It's okay. Life gets better in your 50s. I promise you. Would paying for college or something for your kids, would that necessitate you pulling back on the money you have in retirement contributions?
So you're peeling back on the onion just a little bit. Let me give you just a little bit more context. I enjoy my job. I'm happy with what I do. My wife is less so. We're on track to have our house paid off in about 5 years, maybe a little bit less. At that time, the likelihood that my wife continues at her job is less certain. So I think what would happen is she would be able to continue through her job until the younger one graduates. With the mortgage paid off, the extra cash that generates on a monthly basis for us is more than sufficient to pay for college. And then with the mortgage paid off, that then gives her the freedom to leave a job that she's not super enthused about and take some time off, work part-time, find something else that makes her happy.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, so that sounds good. So how much have you guys saved already in your overly aggressive account? What are the numbers here?
So my wife used to work for the federal government. She has $200,000 in her TSP account that's just sitting off to the side. Obviously, she's not contributing to that anymore. And that has about $200,000 and it's all invested in the C fund.
Stock fund for everybody else. Yep. Common stock fund.
We each have a Roth IRA. And we each have about $115,000 in our IRA, so $230,000 between the pair of us.
Okay.
We each have a Roth 457. She has about $60,000. I have about $70,000 in mine. Okay. So altogether, all retirement accounts, we're looking at about $560,000 or so.
Fantastic. How much are you putting away right now into your retirement account, into your Roth 457?
We are each maxing out our Roth IRA, so that's $12,000 there, and then we're each putting it, or each more or less putting a comparable amount. So depending on how things are going, another $12,000 to $15,000 a year in our 457s.
Each, you're saying?
That's combined.
Okay. So $35,000 a year or so going away into those retirement accounts, which is great. Okay. So And when you say overly aggressive, would you say your wife's thrift savings plan is sort of a good example for me of what the most of the rest of these accounts look like, which is basically all stocks?
They're all stocks. It's mostly Vanguard total stock index funds, Vanguard total international funds, things of that nature. We don't have, there's no bond funds, there's no cash, there's nothing, there's, it's 100% stock.
Last question, I think. Not really, because I always sneak up on you a few more. I'm like Lieutenant Columbo. Just another thing. Okay, so how about emergency reserve fund?
We have about $50,000 sitting in cash.
This is fantastic.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
So, okay, I'm a wimp. I'm going to tell you I am a wimp in general. But if I were going to be ever like nudging towards your world in the overly aggressive, that this is the case where it's okay. It really is. As long as you don't freak out by the ride. And maybe it's just that as you get closer to the 50s, you might start to say, hey, you know what? I don't love the ride so much. I want to put a few other things in to balance out the low lows. The high highs are always great. You don't need to balance those out. But yeah, the low lows, yeah, you kind of want to balance those out. Is it terrible? Absolutely not. If you can, you know what the risk is, that's fine. You live through a lot. As long as you feel like you've got that emergency reserve fund, you've run your numbers, your retirement is fine, you're in great shape, I'm not going to tell you don't take the risk, because there is actually the only downside of this is that it's, you got to wait some period of time before you pull these monies out. But you're in great shape. So I'm not even going to wag my finger at you and say, be careful. I just think you know what it is, right? If you feel comfortable with it, I'm okay with it. You're in cheap funds. They're stock funds. You know, sure, it would be nice if I could tell you, put a 10%, 20%, just throw a little bit of a bond investment in there. It would be fine. But I actually don't think it's going to change your life that much one way or the other. It's like you have this, it's like you're Warren Buffett. That's what you are. You know how Warren Buffett is basically like just investing for essentially an infinite time horizon? That's kind of how you are, because you don't have to take this money out until you turn 72. So yes, when you get, in your 60s, do you need to free up the cash necessary for required minimum distributions on any monies that have not yet been taxed? Sure. But that's about it. Like, as long as you're cool with the risk, then I'm cool with the risk. So okay. How's that feel?
That feels great. So let me ask you a question that I think I'm already going to know the answer to. We have about $130,000 remaining on our mortgage. Mm-hmm. We are aggressively paying that down to try and get that paid off in the next 4 years or so. The reason for that is because once that monthly charge comes off our budget, that frees up, that gives my wife a little more freedom to have flexibility as far as what she wants to do.
Understood. I mean, okay. What's the rate on that mortgage?
3.5.
And how far into it are you?
We have $130,000 left. So,
I mean, how many years?
Like, how many years? I don't know. If we went back to the regular amortization schedule, we'd have it paid off in another 18 years, but we'll have it paid off in four.
I mean, it's fine. It's the same thing. It's like if you had zero emergency fund, I would say, oh my God, you have to fund your emergency reserve fund. But, you know, essentially, let's do it this way. How about this? I'm happy with you paying it down. And here's a different way of thinking about it. Because you have absolutely no bond position in your portfolio, I'm going to presume that this is like your bond position. Now, you're going to just pay this off. You're going to lock in a 3.5% return. So let's do that. I'm fine with that.
Okay, I like that.
This is shocking. This is a shocking call right now.
That's not the response I expected at all.
Yeah, like, oh, I know you're going to tell me to. No, you got liquidity. You do. And you can just turn it on and off. I mean, look, I also know that emotionally, when one person in the couple is pulling back and trying to make different decisions, having cash and having fewer obligations is incredibly helpful. I went through this myself. When I was transitioning from being a full-time financial planner, owning my own company, making a boatload of money, and then entering into media where I started making zero, I was like, holy smokes, I need to have a whole bunch of cash. And I did. And I didn't invest a lot of money knowing that I was going through a transition. So I understand that, that emotionally you want that there for you and she wants that. So considering you owe everything to your wife, let's make it easy for her. Okay.
Fantastic. One last question.
And yes, Lieutenant Columbo.
You touched on it regarding when I pull my money out. TSP aside, the 457 and the IRAs are all in the Roth vehicles.
Right.
Given the pension income and the Social Security income, I'm thinking keeping on the Roth side of the ledger is good because I've already paid taxes on that money.
You betcha.
Okay. Do I have to worry about, I hear you talk to people about managing their RMDs. Am I going to have to worry about that at all?
Well,
or with the Roth options, does that come in? Or do RMDs even apply to
No. Okay. No. So RMDs don't apply to Roth, but you said your wife had $200,000 in an old TSP.
Yeah.
That's the only place that I saw in your story that there was an issue. So theoretically, perhaps there's a moment where we want to convert that old thrift savings plan into a Roth asset, but don't go crazy with that. This is a small amount of money. Mark makes an excellent point. Mark says, just remember that certain Roth retirement plans that are offered through your employers could be subject to RMDs. So when your wife retires, the first thing she's going to do is take her Roth 457 and roll it into her Roth IRA. When you retire, the first thing you're going to do is take your Roth 457 and roll it into your Roth IRA. And then we will hopefully avoid the distribution snag.
Fantastic.
Happy and healthy for you. Go and be aggressive. Just don't put everything in Bitcoin. You know, that's a wild ride.
I don't have a dollar in Bitcoin and I'm quite content with that.
All right. No fear of missing out for you. No. Wish you the best of luck. Thank you for joining us today, Michael. You're great.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mark.
If you, like Michael, want to know whether you're on track to reach whatever your financial goal is. Now, that goal can be lots of different things. It could be retirement. It could be college education for your kids. It could be buying a second home. It could be just getting started. If you need help, let us know. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Hop onto the website, jillonmoney.com, and hit the contact button, and we will get your message. Let us know if you want to come on the air. Mark will do all the rest. If you have any other ideas of things that you want to hear on this program, just let us know. Again, it's the Eye on Money. We are delighted to be with you. We drop our episodes Tuesdays and Thursdays. If you want more Jill, then you can also go on our website and you can subscribe to our sister broadcast. It's called Jill on Money. Again, wherever you get your podcasts. Here at the Eye on Money, we are practicing this mantra for 2021. Curiosity, compassion, and community. We only build it with you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.